So we have here in Galatians 1, 6 through 10, something that surprises us a little bit if we compare it to Paul's other letters, because usually after the greeting, there's some kind of extended thanksgiving for the people that he's writing to, or some kind of extended prayer for the people that he's writing to. But after last week's introduction, which we saw, he was setting up and saying that Christianity is something that comes only from God, only by God's power. It gives blessings that only God can give, is according to God's design, so that no one should ever think that we can enhance it or add to it. It's only to God's glory. And so even in the greeting, he was doing all of that theology. But now he doesn't do the normal thanksgiving or prayer for them. He just starts out, "I am astonished," or "I am shocked." New King James says, "I marvel." And that's the first thing that we'll see in this passage this afternoon, is the surprise of turning away from Jesus. The surprise of turning away from Jesus. The apostle is surprised. You might expect that Paul isn't someone who can be surprised by much, but the surprise of turning away from Jesus. And then in the second place, the seriousness of turning away from Jesus. And what we find is that it's not just turning away from a doctrine, it's turning away from a person. And what the kind of person from whom we turn away if we start to monkey around with the theology of the gospel, that we are turning away from him. And he talks about what he is like. And then in the third place, the severity of turning away from Jesus, that it's not just serious because of who he is and what he alone can do, but what those who turn away from him deserve. And it is very severe. In the first place, the surprise of turning from Jesus. "I marvel that you are turning away so soon." Who's the you? He's the you are the churches of Galatia, the assemblies that have trusted in Christ and know Christ and know the gospel, the ones to whom the apostle has pronounced the blessing, "Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ." And so he gives them this benediction that recognizes them as being in God's covenant people, even though he's concerned that that they are showing some evidence of possibly not being personally joined to Christ by faith. He still, because of their being among God's covenant people, has pronounced that blessing. "Grace to you and peace." They're people of whom Paul can join himself with them, and he can say, "Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age." And then he says, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon." We learn from this surprise that none of us should have confidence in ourselves. In another place, the apostle says, "Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." So not to be spiritually proud, not to be spiritually complacent or self-content. If the apostle Paul can be surprised by the Galatians turning, then we should be aware that we have that capacity within us too. And we should lay hold of Christ and keep clinging to him by the means that he's given us. Our gathering to worship him in his word, sung and prayed and read and preached. And the means that he's given us, clinging to him in the sacrament like we had this morning. Clinging to him in not just spending time with each other, but having our fellowship in clinging to him together. And having that mutually building up sort of fellowship. That we shouldn't take for granted our standing with Jesus or walking with Jesus. The surprise of turning. In the second place, the seriousness of turning. He's talking about they're messing up something doctrinally. And he starts that here when he talks about a different gospel or a gospel that is alongside, which is the idea, actually a little bit more literally. So there is a theological change, and it is to a different gospel that they are turning, but it is not just from the original gospel that they are turning. He doesn't say, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from the gospel that I preached to you to a different gospel," although that is true. But what he says they're turning from is what? Oh, I didn't catch any knowing looks. You will know it when I start to say, it's a what question. All right, now I'm getting the knowing looks. With a whom answer, right? So he says not, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from what? From the true gospel. But in the true gospel, we don't just receive doctrine. We don't just receive a way of thinking. We receive a person. We receive the Lord Jesus himself. We receive God himself, who became a man to give himself to us. And so when we start to monkey around with the gospel, when we mess up the theology of how we are made right with God, we're actually turning from him and from having him. And so that's why he says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him. What him? Him who called you. Him who loved you from all eternity. Him who planned to enter time to live obediently and die for sinners. Him who is risen and seated at the right hand of God. Him who loved you and sent his Son for you. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as we've been hearing about and thinking about in John these last several weeks as well. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ. Remember last week's emphasis on grace? Grace is basically things that come from God alone because we don't have them. Blessing for those who deserve only curse. Strength for those who have only weakness. And really, I'm starting to think we need to add joy for those who have none of their own, because Jesus keeps hitting that note and has done so several times in the Gospel of John, that he's come to give us his joy and that joy might be full. And so he's called you in the grace of Christ. And the word grace here means that there are things that God gives us in himself that we cannot get anywhere else. So why would we want to monkey around with what he says about how we are made right with him, how we are joined to him, how we come to belong to him and he comes to belong to us? There are people who had come into Galatia and they said, well, you got to add circumcision and you got to do this and you got to do that. And, you know, they were pulling from the Old Testament. I mean, it's not like it was, you know, Joseph Smith Mormon wackiness, the people cross the ocean in these little spherical things with a hole in the top to breathe and a hole in the bottom so that they could all sink and die, I guess. But, you know, that's actually there in the Book of Mormon. Right? But these people weren't Book of Mormon types. They were Bible study types. They were reading things in the Bible and they were misapplying it to add to and change what the gospel said is the only way we're made right with God. And they were adding something that we do. But if you add something that you do, you lose him who called you in the grace of Christ. And the gospel is something about how God does for you and in you what you cannot do at all. And so it's not a small thing to make a small theological error. It may seem like a minor distinction, but it is a minor distinction with infinite difference because you lose God himself and his grace. So the surprise of their turning from Jesus, the seriousness of their turning from Jesus, and then the severity of what comes to those who turn from Jesus. Different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Verse 7. Now listen to verse 8. But even if we, that means Paul and the other people who are joining him in his apostolic ministry, even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel alongside, here again it says, any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. And y'all don't go, you should, because the word is anathema and it means under the condemnation of God. If I read it with its full meaning for where you end up, you would gasp. You'd be like, oh, can't believe Pastor said that. Let me do that. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him go to hell. You do kind of feel like. And the reason you do that is because this is very, very severe, isn't it? Let him fall under the wrath of God forever and ever and receive destruction from the presence of the Lord and his glory forever and ever. That's the severity of what departing from the gospel or laying something alongside the gospel, which is the way the language here literally is talking about it. Laying something else alongside of Jesus' righteousness and sacrifice alone. Oh, every one of you here this afternoon, trust in Christ alone. Rest only on what he has done and never even a little bit on what you do. Do because you love him. Do because he's your Redeemer. Do because you love to please him. But do not rest on what you do. The surprise of turning from him. Every one of us is susceptible to falling into resting on what we're doing. The seriousness of turning from him. When we do that, we're not just messing something up a little bit theologically. We are departing, turning from him himself and his grace, all that is in him that we cannot provide ourselves. And the severity of how that results. If we are resting in ourselves in addition to Christ, we are not resting in Christ alone. And that is how we end up under the wrath of God forever and ever. God forbid, may it not be so. Paul himself here says we are looking to please God, to be slaves of Christ, not to turn from him. But part of being a slave of Christ is believing and resting on him alone.